You're listening to Kol Dodi Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at koldodi.org.
We're going to read 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, first of all, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and respectfulness. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. And then the capstone to me, he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. So that's what. So yes, I'll pray. Gal enayva avitani flaot me toratecha. Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your word. As we pray for our nation, as we look at these at this portion in Exodus today, vayera, and as we look at some of the things that you want us to look, we pray you will speak to us and open our eyes and hearts. B'shem Yeshua, amen. So. We want to, pray for our nation. I'll say a few things, and I'm going to ask a few people to pray. And I asked Melissa if she would, Gilbert, if you would. And I don't know if my wife wants to, too, but she probably won't want to, but if she does, I want her to. So am I pro-Trump? Yes. Am I pro-Biden? Yes. Pro-Kamala Harris? Yes. 1 Timothy 2:4, I want them to be saved. I want everyone to be saved. I'm not necessarily for all of their policies by any means or character traits, but I am for some, on both sides, by the way. I am for them. I may be anti their policies in many cases. Yeshua said to Pilate, who had the power to have him killed, think about it, in John 19:11, you would have no authority over me if it hadn't been given to you from above. And I want us to pray Philippians 1:12, with this in mind, Philippians 1:12. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, Paul says this when he's in prison. He says that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the good news. So, folks, we have a higher calling than to listen or watch the news day and night. It's called the gospel. Besorah in Hebrew. Ha-besorah. You want to say that? I have a slide for that. Ha-besorah. Get those slides up. And it's Yeshua. So that's what we're looking at. Move a little forward, please. Find those slides so we can say HaBesorah. Oh, yeah, it's not there yet. All right, we'll find it somewhere. I want you to think. No, it's back there. All right, it's all right. How much time did Yeshua spend speaking out against the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus or the Roman Republic with its subjugation, tax burden, and imperial worship? We, his followers, are not of the world, but he has sent us into the world. John 17:14-18. Yeshua prayed, make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. May I say, feeding on the news will not make you holy. The word holy, kadosh, let's say kadosh, it means different, really. Dedicated. I heard Malcolm, I think it was the last name, Smith maybe, once say other, translated as other. It's other. We are other. And what makes us other? We are called to change hearts from the inside out with the message of the HaBesorah. Let's say it again. I had a slide for it, a couple slides with it on there. HaBesorah, the gospel. And with the gospel in our mouths, with the power of his spirit in our hearts, Yeshua said, my kingdom is not from here. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, so that I might testify to the truth. John 18:37. So let's pray for our nation. That's what we're here for. And with that in mind, Gilbert, would you lead us? And then Melissa as well. And I think we're supposed to use this mic. They want you to use this mic.
Abba, Father, we come before you and we praise you. Firstly, that we're still in a country where we're not persecuted. Perhaps we need that. But secondly, because we have the freedom to not only worship you, but to live and not be hunted. I thank you, Lord, that we still have food, we have shelter, we have hope, and that you, Lord, are still enthroned. You've never left that throne. You are there in the throne, and you will be in the throne. So we lift up the United States of America and really the world, but mostly right now, the United States of America. We pray for our new president. We ask you to bless him. We ask you to him and the vice president, Lord, that you would talk to them, that you would enter into them, Lord, that you would show them your ways. And that, Lord, that you would let them know you are still in command, that you are king over all. We bless you, Lord, and we bless this nation. And we thank you because you have blessed this nation. We're a nation of abundance, and it's because of you, Lord. I thank you for that fact. I thank you this nation's been kind to Jewish people, too. I thank you that it's been good to Israel. And I pray that the new administration would not forget that Israel is the reason why we still exist as a nation. And as we remind ourselves, Lord, every nation that's done wrong to the Jews are no longer powers. I pray that we be reminded of that. Remind our president and vice president, all the new cabinet, including our Congress and our Senate, that they need to understand you are King, Lord, and God over all. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all, as we sang this morning. Lord, I just thank you for a congregation that is quick to repent, that is quick to make things right. And Lord, I just pray that our nation, that all of your people in this nation would be so, that we would be quick to repent and quick to acknowledge that we have not done right by those who are oppressed and those who are, under duress for any reason, Lord, that we need, Lord, social justice in this country, Lord. And Father, your word says that it is for us to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. And Lord, that is our desire. And Lord, I just pray that we would proclaim that message throughout the United States, that that we would be the light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the inauguration. Lord, I just pray for safety for everyone this week. Lord, I just pray your angels will surround this nation, Father. Keep us safe, Lord. Make things peaceful, Lord. Give us great shalom in spite of all the naysayers and in spite of all the people who are saying it's going to be so horrible. Give us shalom, Lord. Father, give us shalom in our nation. Show your glory, Lord. Show up your glory here this week, Lord. Let you be glorified, Lord, in this nation this week and in our inauguration. Lord, let us always remember, no matter who's in power, that we are to pray for them, Lord. And Lord, let us do that. Let us not neglect to pray for our leaders, Father. And thank you, Lord, for Israel and, Lord, what they mean to us. And I am in complete 100% agreement with Gilbert. Let us not forget that because we have good relationship with them, we're still here. Thank you, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.
I'm going to give it to my wife also, who's going to...
Father, we are grateful for the opportunities that you give us to come just the way we are, Father. Failing men, Father, we each one have failed you in one way or another. And still, Lord, we can come to you and know that your presence is always with us and that you always answer. And Father, we all are passionate one way or another with different ideas. But Father, ultimately, you are the Lord who brings peace, reconciliation, restoration. So Father, I ask you that you humble us, that we don't point any finger to anyone, Lord, but that we love everyone, Father, and that to be able to intercede, Father, so that you'll be able to reveal yourself to each one of us. Father, so much nonsense, so many things happening, and ultimate, Lord, what you desire the most is to bring each one of us, our nation, the world, and everyone, Father, to you, to have an incredible fellowship with you, Father, and that's what matters. So, Father, don't allow us to be distracted with what is not yours, but to be quickened by you every moment, Father. How should I react? What should I say? How should I shut my mouth and not say anything and just bless others? So, Father, we are grateful that your word teaches us. You have promised. You said, come to me from the beginning of your word to our forefathers, to our people. You have promised us, Father, and we stand in that promise, and we wait for you, and we listen to your still small voice, and we just will do what you have asked us to do. Thank you, Lord. Remind us, Father, to intercede every moment for whoever is in power, but ultimately, you are the one that is allowed to happen, and you know the reasons that you are allowing this to happen. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. All right. Powerful. Wow. All right. So let's look at Exodus. If you turn there, Exodus chapter 6. And I thank God for the prayer teams. We have such great prayer teams. On Melissa leads one on the Zoom call Wednesday night. Gilbert and Becky, his wife, usually they head up the one right on Tuesday right here at Face Person that many are faithful to here and on Zoom. And so prayer is everything. So remember those verses, 1 Timothy 1, 2 through 4, as we pray this year. And so 7 of the 10 plagues occur in this week's parasha. And why did God choose to bring these methodical judgments and calamities? What was the goal of all God's dealings with these plagues, these horrible judgments? Were they to convince the children of Israel or to convince Pharaoh and the children of Egypt? Well, let me give you two verses. Exodus 6, 7, and 7, 5. 6, 7 says, you will know, God says, that I am Adonai, your God, when all these take place. After I bring the judgments and I bring you out of Egypt, you will know, children of Israel, that I am the Lord, your God. 7, 5 says, God says to the Egyptians the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Okay? How about that? So he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? God loved Israel and, yes, he loved Egypt. He loves Jew and Gentile. He loves Arabs and Israelis, black and white, Asian and Persian. He loves Jew. He loves all nations, every nation. He created every human being in his image and in the womb and the one wrestling or confused over gender and the skinny and the overweight and the homely and the beautiful and the everyone's beautiful to him, and the impoverished and the wealthy, the inept and the talented. And by the way, you're talented in one way or another, really. You just may not look it. The disabled and the athletic. He loves everyone. He will desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so if we're living in union with him, we will have that same love, right? For anyone. And as my wife just prayed, we're not. Anyway, we will have that. Now, as we've begun 2021, just to reiterate, our purpose as a congregation, just going to be quick with this, but is to reach the Jewish people and intermarried families first. Also, but it also includes, we want to reach the unreached people groups. But it's firstly to reach the Jewish people and our interfaith families. That's what we're here for, as a synagogue, as a congregation. But also unreached people groups, and also to educate believers in the Jewish roots of the faith. equipping us all to know the Lord and to make him known. Now, our simple mission statement we've had forever is knowing Yeshua and making him known to all people with a Jewish priority, okay? And the broader mission is growing as a spiritual family in the knowledge and the love of God through the Hebrew scriptures and faith in Yeshua, the Messiah, and then bringing new life in Yeshua to the house of Israel and to all nations. Are my slides not working, David? No, I have different slides for those. They're functioning? They are? Okay. So Dr. Mitch Glazer of Chosen People Ministries said in his seminar that was based on a Jewish survey in 2013 that faith in Yeshua the Messiah is not viewed as harshly as in previous generations. 34% of Jewish people say belief in Yeshua is not incompatible with being Jewish. Now, that wasn't the case when I was growing up. 34%. It's not. It's okay. Yes, you can believe in Yeshua, and no question, you're still Jewish. Now, that's still not the majority, but it's a good number. There's a third. We must recognize, he said in his seminar, that we are reaching a new type of Jewish family, impacted by intermarriage, with a new perspective on Jewish identification. And he said this should be especially understood as we lead and plant Messianic congregations. Now, questions for us in our outreach, I'm just mentioning two of what he's mentioned. He said, how can we develop and expand our program for children so that we can influence the next generation for the sake of Jewish continuity and our testimony of Yeshua faith? And secondly, how can we recontextualize our understanding of Jewish identity in non-traditional ways that might be more appealing to the next generation of Jewish believing families? So as we look at 2021, these are the things we can pray for and keep focused on. All right? You with me? Now, let's look at Exodus 6, verse 5. Furthermore, we come here where Moses is going to be sent to Pharaoh. And it says in verse 5, if I can see it here, furthermore, God says, I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel from the Egyptians, whom the Egyptians are keeping in bondage, so I have remembered my covenant. Now, this is after 210 years of enslavement. So I would ask a question. I've asked it. Maybe you've asked it. Why doesn't God answer our prayers when we ask sometimes for healing and deliverance? Now, someone might say, well, he always does it. Always 210 years, folks. God didn't do it. It's God's time, not our time. And it doesn't happen always our way. Why didn't he do it, we say, with one big miracle rather than with 10? Because he's all wise. We choose to believe that his ways are best, though we don't understand them. Job 13:15, maybe you've heard this verse. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I choose to hang on that. I choose to say yes. Though you slay me, yet I will trust you. And many people have died, have been martyrs of the faith. I've taught before Hebrews 11. Many were delivered from their faith, delivered from all the adversity from their faith. And then I put a slash in my Bible there in Hebrews 11 where it says, and others, and they were martyred for their faith. Did they have less faith because they weren't delivered? No, they're delivered to a better life. They're delivered to something much better. But they were still delivered, but God's way. Romans 11, 33, 34, I'm quoting just a portion of it, so that he might show the goal is mercy to all. And it says, then let me see if I can get this right. How searchable are his judgments and how comprehensible are his ways. Did I get that right? Oh, how unsearchable are his judgments. How incomprehensible are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? And that's taken from, he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14. Well, I say, definitely not me. I'm not ready to be his counselor, are you? God knows what he's doing. And ultimately, it's to reveal his mercy. It's going to be revealed one way or another in this life or the next. Moses spoke to the children of Israel in verse 9 of this chapter. And look at this. Moses spoke this way to the children of Israel, but they did not listen to him because of their broken spirit and cruel bondage. Let me make a point about that simple point. When people are in pain, they can't hear. So don't expect them to. When someone's in a lot of pain, you say, why aren't they getting it? I'm trying to tell them. If you're in pain, you can't listen. You can't hear anything but the pain that you're going through. And so they weren't able to receive it yet. And Moses raised three objections to God when God called him. He said, basically summing them up, the children of Israel won't listen. Pharaoh won't listen. Oh, yes, and I have a speech impediment. Those were his objections. That's what he said. Why he said he can't do it. Remember, Moses is not some little, I mean, he was an amazing guy. He took action his brothers were fighting. He broke up the fight and he murdered an Egyptian who was beating then he rescued the women trying to draw water and drew the water for them from people bullying them. He was an active guy, but he's not ready follow this call that God's giving him. And he says four times, verses 6:12 and 30, he says, I have uncircumcised lips, literally foreskin lips. In other words, impeded lips. He says that in 6:12 and 6:30. This is what he's telling God. 4:10, he said, I'm not a man of words. I'm not a man of words. It's lo ish devarim anochi. I am not a man. Literally, it's how you translate it. I'm not a man of words. And the focus, by the way, is I, anochi. There's two words for I in Hebrew, ani and anochi. And anochi is a greater emphasis. So the problem is, Moses, you're self-conscious here. You're thinking about yourself and what you can do. And God's saying, remember, eheyeh asher eheyeh, I will be who I will be. Eheyeh, I will be with you. And he says, imcha, I will be with you. There is ki eheyeh imcha, imach, I think it might be imcha. I will be with you. God says, it's not who you are, Moses, it's who I am. But Moses has a speech. He says, I have a heavy mouth and a heavy tongue. Ki kavad peh uch vad lashon anochi. Again, this is what. Now listen to this. Richard Wurmbrand writes this. Why did God choose as his messenger a man slow of speech and of a slow tongue? Rabbi Moliver of Bialystok, ever hear that word Bialystok? It was in Poland. It's where my grandfather was from. Seriously. I learned my grandfather was from Bialystok. And did you ever eat, how many have eaten a bagel here? Well, have you ever eaten a bialy? How many have eaten a bialy here? Oh, a good number. Okay, bialy comes from Bialystok because that's where they first came from in Poland. And so this rabbi from Bialystok explained that if God had chosen instead an eloquent orator, such a man would have entered into a long argument with Pharaoh and his advisors about the sociological and psychological evils produced by slavery, about the value of emancipation, the value of Jewish ancestral traditions, etc. He would have become enamored with his own speeches. More and more dialogues would have been initiated, like the endless and useless dialogues which different religions have with each other. The result for the Jews would have been nada, nil, nothing, because Moses stuttered and could pronounce few words without difficulty. He went directly to the point and said to Pharaoh, let my people go. It is such men that God needs even today. I think that's a quote of Wurmbrand as well as the rabbi. That was a little more Wurmbrand. But isn't that something? And that's why the word of God says, be swift to hear. Let every person be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, in James 1:19. Be a better listener than you are a speaker. And, you know, as I said last week, it's easier to work with someone who doesn't already think they're qualified and knows how to do it. Well, that's how we did it in my synagogue, in my church. That's how we did it. And I mentioned Salvation Army founder William Booth wouldn't use unchurched people, church people rather, for his army of volunteer workers, but he wanted to use the unchurched, former thieves, prostitutes, gamblers, alcoholics, preaching and singing in the streets of London as living testimonies to the power of God. Yeshua chose fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, or the non-religious in many cases, Matthew 9 and Luke 11 says, because they were moldable. They would be adaptable and teachable to do the unknown and the undone. Eheyeh asher eheyeh. I will be who I will be, God says. The way I'm going to do it this time is different than the way that I did it last time. I don't need and cannot use someone who's going to react and tell me, no, that's not you, God. I'm not comfortable with that. I preferred the way you did it before. God would say, I don't need your advice. I need your trust and your obedience. Are you adaptable? Are you moldable? If Moses had thought himself an expert in community relations or in leadership skills, God could not have used him and would not have called him to lead the Jewish people into freedom. He felt entirely unqualified and unprepared for the task. But really, he had been prepared by God in his difficult upbringing, his noble acts of character, and he learned that his confidence was from God and not himself in 2 Corinthians 3:5. He didn't put confidence in the flesh. If any, in Philippians 3:3, if any man thinks himself to be something, he's nothing yet as he ought to be. He deceives himself, he says. If he thinks himself something when he's nothing, nothing rather, he deceives himself. In order to be used by God, and this I'm repeating from last week and then I'll move on, but in order to be used by God, we have to be moldable and teachable, not a know-it-all. It's hard to unlearn. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he doesn't know yet what he ought to know, 1 Corinthians 8:2. And I mentioned Saul of Tarsus, the exception to the rule of the disciples whom Yeshua called. He wasn't a fisherman, he wasn't a tax collector. But look how long it took him to unlearn everything. Probably 17 years, I calculate. In Arabia, 3 years, then Syria and Cilicia, 14 years. And this is all written in Galatians chapter 1 and 2, verse 1. He tells us later that he counted everything loss, forfeited. And then poop, scubalon, remember? Philippians 3, 4 through 9, it's a worse word, it really is, scubalon. Saul could have said, but I have so much stuff that's good, I know so much, what about all my learning? And God said, you've got to count it loss if I'm to use you. And then I can resurrect it and use it, you see, as under my authority, under my leadership, my direction. And that's what he did with Saul. That's why he was so amazing. That's why God could use him so much. God, your calling, brethren, not many wise, according to the flesh, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things to confound or shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. The base things, things that are despised, God has chosen to bring to nothing the things that are, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So what are you up against today? What are you up against? Is God calling you to do something you feel ill-equipped for? To go to those you've even had trouble with in the past, maybe? Do you think it depends upon your self-confidence or your self-assuredness? Actually, that would disqualify you or me. You see? The prophet Isaiah, when charged with his mission, said, I'm a man of unclean lips, Isaiah 6:5. I'm too sinful. Jeremiah said, I can't speak, for I'm a child, Jeremiah 1:6. David, Israel's greatest king, also said, who am I, 2 Samuel 7:8. He didn't feel worthy or able. Gideon, when he was called, he sputtered, oh, if, why, where, but, look, he couldn't do it. Judges chapter 6, they're all the common. He couldn't do it. He didn't think he could do it. Elijah was scared of Jezebel after he called fire from heaven. He runs from Jezebel. Jonah tried to escape. And Esther, man, what about Esther, that amazing woman? Well, Purim's less than 6 weeks away, so we will we'll find out. By the way, it's December. I was given a date. I forgot to mention it. February 27th, is that right? February 27th will be our celebration. Okay? It's 27th, yeah. I don't know how did I miss that one. Okay. Yes. So, these are, God uses those whom we don't expect. And the Word of God tells us not that we're competent in ourselves to think anything from ourselves, but our competence is from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5. He makes us competent. Or faithful is the one who calls you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our deeds or works, but according to his own purpose and grace. 2 Timothy 1:9, given in Messiah Yeshua before time began. And so God says, I finish with this, and look at chapter 7, just want to finish. What about the hardening of the heart? The hardening of the heart. God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Verse 3, he says, and verses 13 and 14, he says, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, so he didn't listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. There's this tension, if you will, between free will and providence, divine providence, human choice and divine sovereignty we have here. Did Pharaoh harden his heart, or did God harden Pharaoh's heart? The answer is yes. It says 19 times that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, but some would calculate, I have to check it again, but 10 times Pharaoh hardened his heart, 9 times the Lord hardened. So the idea is that God reciprocated. Pharaoh, and I believe it was that way, Pharaoh said no to God. He got stubborn, proud, and God said, I'll harden your heart. And back and forth it went. God kept wanting to see him, giving him a chance. And we see the battle between Moses and Pharaoh, but it was really between God and Pharaoh, between pride and submission. That's a battle. Pride and submission. The hardening of the heart is a scary, frightening thing, folks. It becomes harder and harder until it's impervious to truth, no longer sensitive, unable to be penetrated, unaffected. Even God's love doesn't affect it. Have you seen it happen? I'm sure we all have. You've seen it happen? It's so scary. It's hard. It's a thing. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, and I'm going backwards, 11 and 10, God sends them delusional force, it says, to believe what is false. Strong delusion to believe a lie because they did not receive the love of the truth. And the word is agape there for love. It's God's love. They didn't receive the love of the truth, so God sends them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You see, this word in the Greek actually is supernatural energy, and it can be from God or it can be from Hasatan. It can be God or the devil. You see, but God sometimes he uses the devil. And like we did with, you see, the book of Job. And it means in the Greek, it causes one to wander and trust falsehood, the hardening of the heart. So as we pray for those, we know someone whose heart is hardening, we pray for them, we intercede. And your prayers, it can happen. God will bring difficulties into their lives as we pray for someone, in hopes that it will soften and turn to him. That's what's going to happen. We got to pray. If you don't pray, the process just goes on. And for ourselves, we want to keep our hearts tender always toward God, don't we? Tender toward God, responsive to him, repentant, correctable, teachable. That's the difference between Moses and Pharaoh. Moses, compliant and reliant to God and upon God. Pharaoh, defiant and self-reliant. against God and from God, self-reliant from God. It was the battle that was in the garden, Gan Eden, tree of the knowledge, good and evil, tree of life. So all goes back to there. So Father, we thank you for your word today. I've kind of been all over the place, but we pray that these things, that something that will stand out to us that you spoke today through your word that you are teaching us. Lord, give us soft hearts. Lord, forgive us if we've gotten hard in any way. Lord, forgive us. We repent and we pray you teach us, make us compliant to you and reliant upon you, Lord, and protect us from that heart getting hard, Lord. We want to receive the love of the truth, Lord, the love of the truth, your truth. And help us to be here, Lord, that you've left us here so that we can communicate. You said, for this reason, I came into the world to bear witness to the truth, Lord. You've placed us here as an extension of you, as a part of you now, to do that. Help us communicate it, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that we'd be useful to you, able to be used by you, not because of our ability, but because of your power through us, your strength made perfect in our weakness, Lord God, and that we could be such for you, Lord. Give us discernment, Lord. Give us discernment to not trust ever our own flesh or the flesh of someone else. Those that seem to have it all, but where it hasn't gone through death and resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for your plan, which is perfect. And if you're watching today, you're with us today, you're here today, you've never trusted Yeshua, please, we plead with you, Lord, plead with you, person, whoever you are, young, old, Lord, put your trust in Yeshua. Give your life to the Lord. Humble yourself before God. He loves you. Messiah died for you. Put your trust in Yeshua and call upon the name of the Lord. And don't be hard against him. Soften your heart. Let him come into you and make you new from the inside out. Do a miracle in your life like he's done in so many countless others. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, the ruler of peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach sar ha-shalom. God bless you. Shabbat shalom.